Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. And the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, "There, we have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines, and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A blessed morning, my brothers and sisters. I convey New Year greetings on behalf of the pastoral team and the EDC. All those who are gathered on site and online, may this New Year be filled with God's blessings. As we enter this new year, it's also the year of our 180th anniversary. And for this historic milestone, the church team is celebrating God's faithfulness, continuing the mission. The logo expresses our desire to look back with thanksgiving and also to look forward with inspiration, to celebrate God's faithfulness and to press on with the mission of PSPC, proclaiming salvation perfected in Christ, PSPC. Therefore, I stated in the bulletin write-up that we were focused on evangelism in the first half of the year and missions in the second half of the year. And for our sermon series, we'll start off with a sermon and Bible study series on evangelism so that we can be equipped for personal evangelism. And after this, we will embark on the sermon and Bible study series on the Gospel of John. That will bring us all the way from the February all the way to early September. Yeah. The bulletin writes up also listed how our anniversary celebrations will be anchored by five key components. Firstly, heritage. On the first Sunday of each month, like what happened earlier today, we will feature monthly highlights of a particular key milestone in PSPC's history. And we entitled that highlights God's faithfulness, our heritage, so that we can be inspired by the past, we can be empowered for the future. And secondly, in terms of publication, our messenger editorial team will be publishing an anniversary book highlighting the key milestones over the past 10 years since our 170th anniversary back in 2013. And we will distribute this book at our anniversary service. And thirdly, for our anniversary service, it will be on the 10th of September. One of the key highlights for this whole year's celebration will be for us to come together for this anniversary service. And for fourthly, theology, we'll organize the Reverend Benjamin Kisbury Lecture on the 2nd of September leading up to the anniversary service. And after the service, we will have the final sermon and Bible study series on Reformed theology and Presbyterian distinctives to help us to be rooted in our denominational positions and our denominational practices. And finally, for building, we will use this occasion of the anniversary to enhance our church facilities and also our equipment. So we encourage congregants to refer to the celebration's calendar of events in the bulletin. Over the two pages, you'll see that there's a key highlight every month, and so that you can, as you participate in all these events, will be a way for us to celebrate God's faithfulness and to continue our mission. And so with this anniversary update, let us pray as we begin the opening sermon of the year. Let us pray. O God, our Father, as we begin a new year and also the year of our church anniversary, we give thanks for your everlasting faithfulness to us, our family, and our church family. Speak to us through your word, inspire us through your spirit, so that as we celebrate your faithfulness, we will be encouraged and inspired to press on in our journey of discipleship, to continue the mission that you have given to us, your people, here in PSPC, proclaiming salvation perfected in Christ. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there's actually a particular location in Singapore which has a historic significance. Back in 1819, when Sir Stamford Raffles and William Farquhar from the British East India Company landed at the Singapore River, the local chief of Temenggong, Abdul Rahman, allowed William Farquhar the freedom to choose the place that he could pitch his tent and set up his camp. And William Farquhar chose that particular location. During the colonial years, that location became the center of British administration. And because of that, when the Japanese captured Singapore, they also used that particular location to display their imperial might. What they did was that they assembled the European population, interrogated them at that location before sending them off to internment at Changi Prison Camp. And of course, after the Japanese surrendered, that location witnessed the surrender ceremony and the military parade. Subsequently, it will go on to witness many more milestones in Singapore's post-colonial and independence history. And because of the historic significance of that place, the Padang was gazetted as the 57th national monument, 75th national monument, 75th national monument at last year's National Day. And monuments like this help us to recall historic milestones important for our identity as a people. And this is especially so for the Padang, because at that very same location, it witnessed defeat. At that very same location, it witnessed victory. So likewise, historic milestones are important for the church as well, because how we recall historic milestones will shape our identity as God's people. It will also inspire our journey into the future as well. Therefore, from today's passage, 1 Samuel chapter 7, we shall see the posture that we should adopt as we enter this new year, as we enter the year of our 180th anniversary. The first posture is to experience our renewal in God. Experience our renewal in God. And since the early chapters of 1 Samuel, the Philistines have become the chief enemies of Israel. And in chapter 4, the Philistines had defeated Israel, killed many men, and even captured the Ark of the Lord, which the Israelites had brought into battle in order to rally the troops, and they lost it in the battle. However, after the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Lord and even used it as a war trophy, display the victory, they came under the heavy hand of the Lord. They suffered a massive outbreak of plague, and they decided the best thing to do was to send the Ark of the Lord back to the Israelites. They couldn't handle it anymore. But the Israelites did not treat the Ark with proper reverence as well, and they also came under the heavy hand of God. And not knowing what to do with the Ark, they entrusted it to the care of the house of Abinadab. And over a period of 20 years, Israelites mourned and sought after the Lord. And that was when the prophet Samuel said to the people in chapter 7, verses 3 to 6, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." And so they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And so, as the prophet Samuel began his public ministry to the people, he diagnosed something very important. He diagnosed the key root of the problem. The key root of the problem. The key root of the problem was not external oppression by enemies. The key root of the problem was their internal unfaithfulness towards God. And that would be something that was repeated time and again in the book of Judges, which we preached last year. And that was why Samuel exhorted the people, repent from idolatry, return to God. And so he convened a national assembly at Mizpah, where the people experienced their renewal in God through their repentance, through their fasting. In fact, the action of drawing water and pouring it out before the Lord was unheard of in the rest of the Old Testament. What did that action mean? The action meant that in their return to the Lord through repentance and fasting, they not only denied themselves food, they denied themselves water as well. And such was the display of their repentance towards the Lord. In other words, the posture that the Israelites adopted was a posture of renewal in God. So likewise, as we gather on this first Sunday, first day of the new year, we have perhaps arrived at this point in our reflection, our year-end reflection, to realize that perhaps some of the trials, some of the troubles, some of the tribulations that we might have suffered in the past year could be due to our own idolatry, could be due to our own unfaithfulness, and we must get to the key root of the problem. And just like what had happened at the Singapore Botanic Gardens, Botanic Gardens was founded in 1859, but some of the tembusu trees, very big tembusu trees, they were there even before the founding of the gardens. And because of that, they were known as heritage trees. In February 2017, a 40-meter-high 270-year-old Tembusu tree collapsed all of a sudden. Killed a woman, injured a few others. Apparently, that heritage Tembusu tree had been rotting. But during routine checks, it could not be found at all. Everything looked solid. Everything looked nice, but it was rotting. A tree expert commented that the rot could have started with the roots and raised the possibility that this could have set in as far back as 1859 when the roots were last cut. And that was the year the Botanic Gardens was founded. Therefore, we must get to the root of the problem. And if a tree can collapse because of a minor rot, then it shows that major collapse begins with minor compromise. Therefore, on this first day of the new year, we can repent from the past. We can renew for the present, for the sake of the future. So let us go forth to experience our renewal in God. The second posture is to exercise our reliance on God. And back in chapter 4, after Israel had lost the first battle, they lost 4,000 men, and it was written in verse 3. And when the people came to the camp, and the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistine? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord here from Shiloh, and that it may come among us and save us from the power of our enemies." But at the second battle, lo and behold, Israel lost another 30,000 men. Altogether, they lost 40,000. And they lost the Ark of the Lord. The very thing they thought they could rally the troops, they lost the Ark of the Lord to the Philistines. And this is the point. Times of trouble reveal source of reliance. Times of trouble reveal source of reliance. What the Israelites were relying on was the Ark of the Lord. And what was the difference later in chapter 7? Later in chapter 7, in today's passage, Samuel gathered the Israelites at Mizpah. The Philistines perceived a military threat, and so they launched an attack. And when the Israelites realized that a national assembly became a national emergency, they told Samuel to cry out to the Lord for us. Because this is what is written: "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. Now, what was happening? You see, in the worldview of the ancient Near East in those days, it was believed that whenever there was a battle, it was not just the physical battle that was being fought by the opposing armies. There is a greater battle being fought. Where? A greater battle being fought in the heavenly realms. They believed that when the soldiers fought, the deities from the opposing sides fought as well. So the side with the stronger deity will win the battle. So when the Philistines encountered that loud, sudden thunder from heaven, they perceived it as such a bad omen. They were thrown into fear. They were thrown into anxiety. They were thrown into defeat. And from beginning to the end, it was the Lord who saved them, because the people relied on God. So times of trouble reveal source of reliance. In chapter 4, the Israelites were relying on the ark of the Lord. But in chapter 7, they were relying on the Lord of the ark. And that made a tremendous amount of difference. And that brings out the principle. The renewal in God leads to reliance on God. Renewal in God leads to reliance on God. And that has tremendous amount of application for us. I mentioned in the Advent sermon, Collins Dictionary chosen the word perma-crisis as the word of the year, 2022. The newly coined word that joined the word permanent with crisis, perma-crisis. To express an extended period of uncertainty, extended period of instability because of geopolitical, climate, and financial crisis. Furthermore, a historian from Columbia University coined the word polycrisis, to heighten the fact that global crises are interconnected and that one crisis would have the tendency to worsen another. Polycrisis. So whether permacrisis or polycrisis, we are affected in different ways. For those who are gathered here, for those who are gathered online, in your personal situation, in your family life, in your work circumstances, or any other arenas of your life, some of us here face permacrisis. Some of us face polycrisis. And what is the source of your reliance in times of permanent crisis? What is the source of your reliance in times of polycrisis? Back in 2009, a pilot crashed his plane all of a sudden, despite having 20 years of flight experience. It was such a shocking news that his wife told the reporters. She said these words, "Like everybody has told me, he was the most cautious pilot they ever knew." So what happened? What led to the crash of the plane despite him having 20 years of experience? The reason? Shortage of fuel. You heard it right. Shortage of fuel. According to the US Office of Aviation Safety, over a 5-year period before that crash in 2009, there were 238 small planes that crashed because of the same reason, shortage of fuel. The director of aviation safety said, "It's surprising to me that there's a group of pilots who were knowingly pushing, thinking I can make it the last couple of miles and come up short. I can make it the last couple of miles and come up short." That's the danger when we rely on ourselves in times of perma-crisis. That's the danger that we face when we rely on ourselves in a poly-crisis. Because we may also think that we may make it the last couple of miles, but come up short. Times of trouble reveal source of reliance. As we enter this new year, let us go forth to experience our renewal in God and exercise our reliance on God. The third posture to adopt is to enhance our remembrance of God. For it is written in verses 12 to 13, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, 'Till now the Lord has helped us.' And so the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." Yeah, after witnessing how the renewing in God led to the reliance on God, Samuel led the people to the remembrance of God for the victory. And he set up a stone. A stone he called Ebenezer, which means stone of help, stone of God's help. And he further explained, saying, till now, the Lord has helped us. Till now, the Lord has helped us. But if we only stop just here, we don't go further, we miss a deeper significance of what Samuel was trying to do. At the earlier battle, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines. They camped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped at Aphek. It was at the battlefield called Ebenezer that the Israelites suffered a major defeat, lost 40,000 men and the Ark of the Lord. Ebenezer at that time was the location of their defeat. And chapter 7, Ebenezer was the stone of help. And what Samuel was trying to do was to overturn defeat into victory, so that the stone Ebenezer witnessed how the renewal in God led to the reliance on God and the remembrance of God. And that brings out the application point, that the remembrance of milestones reinforce our spirituality. Remembrance of milestones fosters the reinforcement of spirituality. And in that way, we can be inspired by the past. We can be empowered for the future. And that's why two of the five components in our anniversary celebrations are meant to help us enhance our remembrance of God. And firstly, the heritage. The first Sunday of each month, like what we did earlier today, God's faithfulness, our heritage, we will highlight a historic milestone in the long history of PSPC so that we can consider that as a memorial stone of God's faithfulness. Secondly, the anniversary book, the messenger team will be starting work on this book that will cover the key milestones over the past 10 years since our 170th anniversary in 2013. And we encourage you to respond if the editorial team approach you to write something for the book. And the book will be published and distributed at our 180th anniversary. And in these ways, we will realize that we are part of a church like PSPC. We are blessed with a long history. And because of that, we are bestowed with a long hindsight. And because of that, whatever perma-crisis, whatever poly-crisis that you might be facing in your personal situation, in your family life, in your work circumstances, when we recall our history, when we cherish our legacy, we'll realize that because of God's faithfulness to our forefathers and predecessors, we are inspired by the past. We are empowered for the future. And you realize that because what God has done in the past, what you're going through would have been what our predecessors might have gone through in different ways. And you're not alone. Because God was with them, God will be with us as well. And so, we have seen that the posture that we are called to adopt as we start the new year and the year of our 180th anniversary, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head and foundation of the church. And when we experience our renewal in Christ, when we exercise our reliance on Christ, and when we enhance our remembrance of Christ, our personal life, our church life, we will be inspired and empowered to celebrate God's faithfulness. We will be inspired and empowered to continue the mission. A few years ago, someone living in the UK notified me that she will no longer be worshipping in a Presbyterian church because the only Presbyterian church in the town that she was staying in had been converted into a pub. Yeah, you heard it right. Converted into a pub. A place where people drink their wine and their beer and have a jolly good time. And the reality is that many of the church buildings were bought over, renovated to become homes, become pubs, become circle school even. And this news report described it in this way. behind the imposing red brick facade of a Presbyterian church in North London's upmarket Maxwell Hill district. Throbbing pop music and barrels of Guinness are the first clues that there is a new congregation. That Presbyterian church, unfortunately, with the red brick facade, had become a pub. And what about PSPC? Think about that, my brothers and sisters, as we enter into our anniversary year. Let us go forth to experience our renewal in Christ, to exercise our reliance on Christ, and enhance our remembrance of Christ, so that we will go forth celebrating God's faithfulness, continuing the mission. Amen. Let us all stand, my brothers and sisters, as we respond to God. My brothers and sisters, how was the year that just ended? And how do you intend to start this new year? This is the first day of the new year, the first Sunday of the new year. It is the year of our 180th anniversary. And when we realize that we are standing upon this milestone, looking back and looking forward, what is God calling us as an individual? What is calling your family to respond? How is God calling us as a church community to respond? And perhaps the challenge for us, according to God's word today, the posture that we should adopt as we enter this new year, into the year of our anniversary, is to experience our renewal in Christ. Exercise reliance on Christ and enhance remembrance of Christ. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we give thanks to you for your faithfulness over the past year and your faithfulness to our forefathers, predecessors, and this church, especially as we enter the year of our 180th anniversary. As we start the new year, help us to look back, to celebrate your faithfulness, and to press on to continue the mission. Help us to experience our renewal in Christ, so that by exercising our reliance in Christ, we will, by God's help, face up to the trials and troubles and tribulations in our own lives. Enable us to enhance our remembrance of Christ, so that we will be inspired individually and together as a community to press on to fulfill God's mission. We pray for your Holy Spirit to do a new work in us in this new year, a new work in PSPC in this anniversary year. For we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Amen. Let us remain standing for the communion hymn.